Shalom, this is Stefan Yah. Right Ruling is coming soon. This will concern our walk in Yava, our personal sins, about coming out of sin, about immersion, leadership, and the belief about the two houses, the Messianic movement, a little bit. Feast days and immersion, they do have somewhat in common there, that immersion or mikvah or baptism was commonly done there at the Feast of Tabernacles, at this feast, where people confess their sins to one another and are immersed in the water by our Savior, by our mighty Savior, the Messiah, whom we call Yahweh HaMashiach. The world calls JC. We prefer to use his real name, not a substitute. And that's what we do when we go down into the water. We believe that Messiah is immersing us in the name of the Father Yahweh, and into himself in the Son Yahweh Hosha, and by the Ruach HaKadosh. We must be born of water and the Spirit, John chapter 3. So we're talking about immersion here and the feast days. So good morning. If you're in New Jerusalem, in Jerusalem, well, that'd be great if you were in New Jerusalem and listening to this. That'd be something. But it's evening here, so on the other side of the world, in Jerusalem, Japan, and the Asia, I figure that it must be morning there. So good morning to you. Let's inspire one another and exhort one another. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, reading from the King James Version, just because they're using the Antioch scrolls and not the Egyptian scrolls, which represent sin, and also because King James doesn't remove any scripture, as the modern scrolls do that take their sources out of Antioch. 1 Peter 1:24 in the King James Version. Yes, I've gone back to using the King James. Praise Yahweh. For all flesh is as grass, and all the esteem of man is as the flower of grass, because we just fade away. The grass withereth, and the flower therefore falleth away, but the word of the eternal endureth forever. And this is the word which by the great news is preached unto you. That was 1 Peter 1. We're going to go to 1 Peter 5 in a moment, but first, regarding immersion, Matthew chapter 3, 11. Matthew chapter 3. John said, Yochanan said, I indeed immerse you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me, referring to the Messiah, he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall immerse you with a separated HaKadosh and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That was in the third chapter of Matthew, Matthew 3 there. So we need to be more sensitive to Yahweh and not just, you know, as some say, well, fear only means having a high regard for Yahweh or something like that, kind of a watered-down version. But we are to fear him in every way. Fear not him who can destroy your body, you know, and your limbs, or take away all your money, but fear him who can cast both soul and body into hellfire. That's the kind of fear that Messiah wants us to have. That's what he told us, is to have that type of fear. You know, have all kinds of fear towards our Messiah. If it has to be, you know, that I'm afraid of his judgment, well then so be it. If that's the only kind of force that he can use to, you know, to get me to repent of something, then praise Yahweh, may he use it. He said in Matthew 3, I indeed immerse you with water unto repentance. And whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. We don't want to be the chaff. So let's be sensitive to Yahweh, the Word. Yahweh is the one with whom we have to do. Yahweh the Messiah, or Yahweh Hosha, the Messiah, knows our secrets. And other people that we come in contact with may find out what our sins are too. And that's even more embarrassing, it seems like, because they're right here next to us, and we're not physically looking at the Messiah, but we should be embarrassed about our sins. You know, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. We should fear him. You know, a common person knows that. Why don't we who have studied the Word and have gone to all kinds of assemblies that are, you know, so intellectual and high society and two house and all that, why don't we believe that we should have that kind of fear? Are we to be excluded from His judgment? But we have the Word. We have Yahweh. Some of you know it backwards and forwards, so you just need to be reminded of, you know, it's nothing new to you to be quoting from Scripture, but obviously you need to be reminded or you wouldn't be falling back into sin occasionally, even if it's not intentional. So may His Word, and may Jeremiah, may Matthew, may His entire Word bless your heart this morning as you read Yahweh's Word. And you know that man cannot enlighten anyone. It's only Yahweh's Word that can do that. We will still be going to Matthew again here in a moment. All right. First, I told you 1 Peter, didn't I? 1 Peter 5:5. Yeah, we'll go to that first. 1 Peter 5:5 says, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yes, all be subject one to another, and be clothed with pride." You caught me. No, with humility, not with pride. For Yahweh resists the proud and gives favor to the meek or the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of Yahweh, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him. For He careth for you. Be sober and be vigilant. Be sober and vigilant. Does your life line up with what He said in the Word? Does your lifestyle, does your walk, does your behavior line up with Scripture? Yes, we really want to line up with His Scripture. Everything else doesn't, nothing else matters, I should say. You have the Word. Amos 5:14. Seek good and not evil. Amos 5. Seek good and not evil that you may live. And so the Sovereign, the Most High of hosts, the Most High of armies, shall be with you as you have spoken. Hate the evil and love the great, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Sovereign Most High of hosts will be merciful unto the remnant of Joseph. Therefore the Sovereign, the Most High of armies, the Sovereign saith thus, wailing shall be in all the streets. They shall say in all the highways, alas, alas, alas! And they shall call the husbandman to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing, and in all vineyards shall be wailing. For I will pass through thee, saith the Sovereign. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Sovereign, or the day of LORD in the King James. To what end is it for you? The day of the Sovereign is darkness and not light. Amos 5. Judgment in the gate. We used to listen to Luke Garrett on stage as he sang that, and he was pretty fiery. He said, be sure and stand back away from the stage, because he really projected those words as he sang. Now, what's the two house? The two house is the belief that the northern ten tribes and the southern tribe of Yehuda will be united. And this is not a man-made merging here. Man will not force the action. Yahweh will enact this. The two-house message deals with Yahweh symbolically putting the two sticks back together into one, back into the Messiah. We look forward to that. That theory doesn't really cause us necessarily to be more obedient, to have a better type of behavior for our hearts to burn any stronger for Him. Well, it might for some people, but we don't really want to get high-centered on that two-house message. We need to teach all the Word, not just the two house only. For example, the question, are we keeping His commandments and statutes and judgments found in Exodus 20 through 23? And are we encouraging others to do so? How often and by what spirit is this done? Are we just doing it out of that we're trying to put ourselves above someone else? To make myself think that I'm the quote, holier than thou or something? or try to make somebody else lower than I am. You know, no, we should do it in the right spirit, that we want to love them in the truth. We want them to see Yahweh face to face. We want to see them there in the throne room in the New Jerusalem, in the Feast of Tabernacles someday, in the millennium, you know, in the time to come, the great heavens. And we're living in the end times. We have been for the last 2,000 years, and now we're that much closer to the end. Regarding some of these teachings, though, that sometimes we're in the middle of a question or the middle of a doctrine, we never do quite get to the bottom of it. One person says this, and one says another. But what does the word say pertaining to our behavior, the spirit-wrought behavior? You know, that once we are saved, it is fine to study the genealogies. You know, you can know, I keep saying that, you know, you're not supposed to, but, you know, all the way from, did it again, from Genesis, you know, forward and backward. You could know Genesis backwards and forwards, but how is that going to affect your obedience? It sure did Abraham, sure did. He kept the charge, the commandments, statutes, and judgments. Genesis 26. But let us consider why we do the things we do. It's acceptable to listen to Yahweh's word day and night. We can hear the scriptures these days on our MP3s. We can on the radio, and we can read the scripture. You can go into a store called the Dollar Tree and buy a book of scriptures for a dollar. You can buy the entire audio from Matthew to Revelation over there for a dollar, and it was very nice reading there. But it's not acceptable to just listen to any kind of radio program with all of the intensity these days and trying to incite us to do what? I don't know, to be violent. It's certainly not loving. Everything is, you know, crime and high intensity. It's high time to change that frequency. Let us be sure we edify Yahweh and our associates and edify ourselves properly. Now, Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah 1:7. Here's a confession that they were making prior to the feast. I think it was prior to it. We'll find out anyway. I can't remember everything that there is about the word, but I remember a lot of it. But the more I read, you know, the more I seem to forget. Nehemiah 1, verse 7. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me, and keep my commandments, and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather you from thence, and will bring you unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. That was from Nehemiah chapter 1. And so there's the diaspora again, proclaimed by Yahweh, that he was going to scatter his children throughout the globe, and maybe even farther than that, because of their disobedience. And we are those children whom we were scattered, and we're still doing the same thing that they did, except we say that, well, I'm saved by the blood, you know, or saved by favor, or grace, commonly called. But it seems like we just keep doing the same thing. We're supposed to have the Spirit, yet look at our lives. They're not even as separated as those around who were here 50 years ago. Certainly not. We don't measure up to those Jews of old, or even the Orthodox. Nehemiah chapter 9, that's Nehemiah chapter 9. We need to confess our current sins to one another. And I think a good time to do that is at Passover. Some of the Church of God people believe that. Nehemiah 9:2, and it says, and the seed of Yahweh's pure people separated themselves from all strangers, and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. Now there's actually strangers with them, of course. Some of the strangers did not want to join them. But those who did had to do it Yahweh's way. You know, they had to be circumcised. They had to obey Yahweh. They had to go to his feast days. And it was not any kind of a bondage or punishment. It was a blessed thing. And they would receive not only spiritual blessings, but physical, financial, material blessings as well. And we should be doing that too. So they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. We can certainly relate to those people. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law, the sovereign their Yahweh, 1/4 part of the day. Does anybody read the book of the law a fourth part of the day from like 9 until noon or noon to 3, 3 to 6 or anything? Does anybody read the word at all for 3 hours a day? Well, there are some. Praise Yahweh for that. Perhaps you are one of those women or one of those men. So they read a fourth part of the day. That's right. And another fourth part they confessed and praised sovereign their Yahweh. So there's an innumerable multitude of people there confessing sins. And it took them 3 hours on that particular time there in Nehemiah 9. And then further, they separated themselves from the wives that they were not to have married. Now these days, of course, we're united with Yahweh, and he told us that we can have fellowship with Gentiles. Acts 10 there, in Peter's vision, Peter said that Yahweh had showed him that he was to be able to fellowship, spiritually have fellowship with Gentiles as long as they were, you know, obedient and of the truth. And to not call any man common or unclean was in Acts 10. That was the purpose of that whole passage there. As I stray away from Ezra 10. But we have trespassed against Yahweh and have taken strange wives of the people of the land. Yet now there is hope in the Hebrews concerning this thing. Now therefore, let us make a covenant with Yahweh, and to put away all the wives, and such as are born of them, according to the counsel of the sovereign, and of those that tremble at the commandment of our Yahweh, and let it be done according to Torah. Yahweh's burden is light when we walk the Torah. Relax, you'll soon be in the Father's arms, and there will be no doubt. But what about all the poor wives and children there in Ezra 10 who would have been left behind of those strange wives, and they had children? Well, the man who fathered them is still responsible for them financially, and so they are taken care of by the dad and through tithes, the second and third tithes. What's that? Well, we'll talk about that some other time, or you can find that on giveshare.org. Ezra 10 is showing the concept about mixed marriage. A practical application in today's world would be for a true believer in Messiah who knows the Word, who believes in the Torah, who's saved by the blood of our Messiah, to unite with somebody who's an unbeliever, whether they call themselves a believer or Christian or whatever. So we should not enter into a mixed marriage with somebody who doesn't believe the Word, doesn't believe that the Word says what it says. So beyond this, I would not yet fully know how the little children are taken care of and the mothers, but we should not assume that the mother is beyond help. Possibly she has her own resources, or she's out living with some other guy who's supporting her, so just let him be. I would be my advice, but each case is different. A case-by-case basis is how that should be. But possibly they did not even welcome the leadership and the finances of their father, of their dad, I mean. So, on a case-by-case basis, but normally the man who fathered the children should still be responsible for them, even though he had to, in Ezra 10, even though he had to put them away. Today's world, it's a little bit different, but still if the wife takes the children and she's rebelling, she's going off, she's not going to keep the feast, she's not going to obey Yahweh anymore, she's going to go out and eat anything she feels like that Yahweh calls an abomination, she's not going to attend anywhere, she's obviously walking away from the word then, and she takes the children. Then if there's nothing that you can do for those, for the wife or their children, then somebody else is taking care of them, then just let it lie there would be my advice. And once again, look at giveshare.org and study these feast days. You can study them very thoroughly there. Just remember the major errors in GiveShare or any other website is the improper usage of Yahweh's names and a few of the words there, about 50 of the words that we point out on this website. They have a lack of understanding and, in fact, a rebellion against Yahweh's calendar. By the way, the scriptural calendar consists of observing the moon, as it says in Genesis chapter 1. The first sight and light of the new moon, which determines the new month and or new year and what is commonly called spring, we refer to spring properly as early summer. Genesis 8:22, for example. And there's just two times of year mentioned, and also over in Psalm 74:17. But Genesis says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." And let's see, and also about the Genesis chapter 1:14, Yahweh said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. So it would seem that the light of the moon, not the dead of the moon, would be the proper time to observe the crescent when the moon is new. So check out giveshare.org. I think that's about all for this little part here on immersion. Be sure and read Romans, the book of Romans, about being immersed. You can start there in chapter 6. Verse 2, and then the book of Peter as well. I'm not sure whether it's 1st or 2nd Peter, and obviously John chapter 3 is another good place to begin study, as well as the earlier scriptures from Genesis to Malachi. Study that, because that establishes the basis for our pattern of thought about immersion. You can't just start out in the middle or at the end, you know, the end of the book. You need to go to the beginning. By the way, the end of the book here, before we cut out, is Malachi, the last book of Malachi before it goes into the newer scriptures or renewed covenant, Matthew 1, where Protestant preachers would probably say, forget the law of Moses, forget the Torah. But here in Malachi 4:4, remember the law of Moses, my servant. He turned the page and then he says, forget the law of Moses. No, it does not say that. But it says, remember, just like it did in Yahweh said that in Exodus chapter 20. Remember you the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all the Hebrews, the statutes and judgments. Remember all of that. And so we have to study it daily so we will remember it better. We probably read it 1,000 times, but we ought to read something out of the Torah each day, and also something out of the book of Psalms, but it's most important to read the law, so please try to do that as often as you can anyway. Thank you. Shalom. Thanks for tuning in.